In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website. Today, I want to talk to us about the thoughts of a parent, the thoughts that run through your head and the thoughts that run through my head. You know, our thoughts become our reality. So for us to be the parents we want to be, I want you to think about your thoughts for a second. I developed this amazing activity about 5 years ago. I call it the top 10 thoughts. And I normally just do this in private sessions with people. But for those of you here with me live or are listening to this or watching this, I want to do it with you right now. It's very interesting. It's very helpful. It's helped me to change my life. It's really helped a lot of people. Here's what I've learned. I have learned that if you go up to, and you ask somebody, tell me, what are your top 10 thoughts, that they will be able to answer you. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, what are your top 10 thoughts? Now, to help you figure out what you think about, here's what I've learned, is that there's two types of thoughts that we have. Okay, there's thoughts that we have like, what am I doing today? What am I doing for work? Where do I need to drive my kids to today? What am I going to cook tonight? What am I going to have for dinner? When we have these thoughts, they don't really move us emotionally. They don't move the emotional dial. They're just regular thoughts, right? These are thoughts that we use to kind of take care of our responsibilities, to function and to go through our lives. Like for me, one of my top 10 thoughts in life is, what am I going to have for dinner? I don't really eat a lot during the day, and sometimes I often don't eat anything. And so I think about dinner a lot, about what am I going to have. I also think about, what am I going to barbecue on the weekends, because I just love barbecuing. I also think about what am I going to do with my family, on weekends, because I just love the weekends. So there, when I think these thoughts, they don't really make me emotional or think like that. Now, there's a second type of thought that you and I have. Now, I want you to think deeply about your thoughts. Think about your thoughts. What are your top 10 thoughts? Because what I've realized is that if you ask somebody to write them down, they can actually determine not only what their top 10 thoughts are, what their top 5 thoughts are, but that you and I can actually determine what your number one thought is in life. I know this. I've been doing this with tweens, teens, college students, and adults for a long time. It's actually not that complicated. If you are listening to this and you write a pen and paper right now, or you're by your phone, you can break it out and start asking yourself, what do I think about? And you can even realize that you can actually put them in numerical order. Now, the second type of thought is this. About 10 years ago, I was in a very, very, very bad beach accident on the Pacific Ocean in Santa Cruz. I grew up in San Diego, so I'm very familiar around the beach, around surfing, around beach culture, and things that people do, like digging holes in the sand and playing with the sand. I don't really want to get into the story right now, even though I have in other times. But something very, very bad happened on the beach that day, and people were very hurt. It was very, very bad, and I was right up in the middle of that. Now, I wasn't physically hurt, but people I loved were hurt, and I was in the middle of all this, trying to help them, trying to save them. It was just very chaotic, and after the beach accident in Santa Cruz happened, I was having symptoms of PTSD. I was shaking my head a lot. I was waking up with nightmares, and I had like survivor's guilt. I like, what should I have done? I have done this differently. I was, some kid got hurt and I was an adult there. What should I have done? I'm the beach guy. And it was just very, very bad. When I would think about that, it would really affect me emotionally. Secondarily, I had some pretty, pretty bad experiences as a child. I didn't really connect with my parents very well. I feel like my father abandoned me at age 12. I had a very challenging relationship with my mother. Some bad things happened to my sister. And especially when I was younger, when I would think about these things, I wouldn't want to think about them, because when I would think about them, I could just be no fun. So I became very good at blocking it out and self-medicating and just not thinking about these things and avoiding these things. And so what I've learned is that when we have these thoughts, even though they may not be everyday thoughts, like what am I going to have for dinner? When we have these thoughts, They really affect us and really move the emotional dial. So I wanted to share this with you because just yesterday I was talking with a lovely mom, a lovely woman. I'm sure if you met her, if you hung out with her, if you had a latte with her, you would feel the same thing I do. Just a super amazing woman, a great mom with two great boys. And she was letting me in. She's like, Sean, I'm just really feeling low today. And I just wonder if you can kind of talk to me about what I'm feeling. And then I said, okay, you know, what's going on? And I would just do the same for you, right? Like, just like imagine you're hanging out with one of your best friends or your counselor with me, and you're just feeling down. You're like, what's going on? And this is what she proceeded to tell me. She proceeded to say, you know, I feel like I'm just not functioning like as a good mom. Like I listen to you and I feel like I can do better. Like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like, you know, why can I expect my teenagers to act well and to raise the bar if I can't even get myself together? She proceeds then tell me some of her thoughts, right? Her thoughts, she's instant saying, you know, I feel like I don't have my crap together. Now, she didn't say, I feel like I'm a bad parent, but she said other things, you know, regarding that. Now, if you're listening to this, you probably feel very relatable to this woman's thoughts. I've had these thoughts too. We've all had these thoughts, right? She proceeds to share some of her thoughts, and I actually am looking out on my paper right now to read them to you. You know, you guys, I'm not getting my kids really what they need. Gosh, if I don't figure this out, my kid's gonna end up in a hospital one day. I know some parents, that's a thought they have. Like, my kid's gonna end up homeless. My kid's gonna end up in jail. My kid's gonna end up divorced or lonely or a loner. My kid's gonna hurt themselves. Now, what my mother says is, you know what? He doesn't know these things. At this age, they should be better. He should know these things, but it's because of me. I haven't taught him. I've failed him. Now, again, I hope this sounds very, very familiar to you, because if it doesn't sound familiar to you, well, then just realize this is very, very hot, normal thinking for parents, for parents, whether you're a husband or a wife. Here's some more thoughts that people have. Now, I know what people are thinking because they've been telling me. They're telling me what their thoughts are, and because I've been listening to them in my little space and marketplace field, but then also I have them do these activities. And I think I'm going to write a book on one day, because I've just actually started writing it down about what people think. It's super interesting what people think about. Like, here's a common thing that people think about is, this kid's going to kill me. Or this kid driving me nuts. Did you know that that is a common thing that regular parents like me and you think about? And some people, they have it in their top 10. Some people have it in their top 5. Some people have this in their top 5. I need a drink. I need a drink. Some people have this in their top 5. I need something to eat right now. I need something sugary or sweet. I need some candy. Some people think about this a lot. Gosh, I just need to clean something right now. Other people think, oh my gosh, when do I get back to work? Man, I used to have a sports addiction. I did. I was addicted to the Oakland Raiders. Like, people don't talk about that, dude. I was straight up addicted to sports in my 20s, man. Thinking about girls, nobody's got time for that. Thinking about anything else, I was just thinking about sports and playing my video games all day long and hanging out with my homeboys. That's what I was thinking about. Like, seriously, I realized after I got married, like, man, I think if I'm going to be happily married, a good dad, I got to figure out what the hell is going on with me in sports. I mean, fantasy football, John Madden football, thinking about sports, reading sports. That's an addiction nobody talks about. I need a freaking podcast episode about that. But you know what? How many listeners that would get? It'd be at about 5. No one's going to be listening to that. It's like a sacred cow. You do not go on sports. NFL, the church used to own Sunday. Now the whole NFL owns a whole day of the week. Isn't that crazy? Some people, now I'm going to be really vulnerable with you right now, okay? Don't hold this against me. I have some really, really healthy thoughts when it comes to my marriage. And I've learned that I have some really, really negative thoughts. You know, and one of the thoughts that I struggle with is sometimes I have this thought and it sounds something like to my head, gosh, I'm the only one who cares here. I'm doing it all. Like, I'm just only one showing care. This is just a one-sided relationship. I care for her and she cares for the kids. This is just the way it is. And see, now I want you to ask yourself, as you think about your top 10 thoughts, now there's a few ways you can decipher these. Here's one way that you can decipher these. Is this a healthy thought for you to dwell on or unhealthy? Is that a healthy thought for you to dwell on or unhealthy? Now, because if you're doing this, one way you can even do this is you can go through every single one of those thoughts. You can put a positive or a negative next to it. Here's another way of deciphering your thoughts. Is this true or is this false? Right? Because let me just break down some of these things. I'm a bad parent. Is that true or false? Because feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts. Me thinking this is a one-sided relationship, that is just a feeling. That's not a fact, and it's not true. Here's another way of thinking about your thoughts. You decipher them and you analyze your own thoughts. And if you want more help with this, well, the book a call with me and I'll walk you through your thoughts. Because if you think about your actions, this is so deep. I do like so much teaching. I'm so into this. Our actions are results of our emotions. If we cry, it's because we feel some type of grief or sadness. If we're yelling or raging, it's because emotionally we feel overwhelmed or we feel unheard or we feel powerless. But then our body keeps the count. So if you feel anxious, if we're struggling with anxiety, it's because we feel anxious and then it shows up in our body. Like I get anxious sometimes, but I don't normally feel it in my body. While other people, they feel it in their neck, in their jaw, in their stomach. So you feel anxiety without feeling in your body. But where does our feelings come from? Well, our feelings comes from our thoughts. If you're watching a funny movie, you're thinking about funny things. So then you feel humorous and jolliness in your emotions. So then your body reflects it. So if we want to be good parents with good behavior, how do we do that? Well, we got to go to the source code, which is actually our thoughts. Some people say something that's not scientifically true. They say you have to control your emotions. We actually can't control our emotions. That's false teaching. We manage our emotions. Emotions are very unpredictable and irrational. Like we can feel, happy at a funeral. We can feel scared when we know we shouldn't really feel, scared of something. This is really basic stuff. We should have been taught this in freaking middle school instead of the 50 capitals of the United States. Like, how dumb is that? Talk about education. So dumb. Screw you guys. Screw you for making me learn the capital of Alaska is Juneau. Who cares? I do not care what the capital of Idaho is. Is it Boise? I don't give an F and I don't care. It's so stupid. Why did they make us do that stupid stuff? They should have taught us this. So dumb. So dumb. So dumb. They should have been teaching us in middle school kids, hey, your thoughts become your reality. If you want to dwell that you have acne and glasses, if you want to think about that all day long, every day, then do it. But you're going to give yourself an anxiety disorder and you're going to be walking around uncomfortable. But because parents are teachers and everyone's a school, even though I feel like I'm teaching the parent right now, I'm trying to raise kids right now through you because you are the greatest teacher. So you learn this stuff and then let's teach it to our kids. So here's another way of thinking about our thoughts. Now we see in the cartoons, we have little angels on one shoulder and little cartoon devils on another. Now, whether you think this is real or not, I don't care. I'm not getting into your theology right now. But the little angel speaks truth to us, speaks goodness. The angel is for us. And the little cartoon devil is against us. He hates us, despises us. Now, in some of your theologies or your religions or your spirituality, you think this is actually real. There actually is a Holy Spirit, an evil spirit. Whether you believe in that, I don't know. I don't care. But what people will say is that pretty much everybody agrees on this in some ways. Whether you call it the little devil, like your selfishness or your ego or your pride or your fear. And you can call your little angel some type of hippie word that we use in 2023, like your consciousness or your true self or your inner light or whatever the people say to me. I go to freaking yoga and they're saying all this weird stuff to me. I'm just trying to stretch and have a workout. Look at my wife's butt. It's like, can I just exercise right now? So whatever it is. But now, Think about what is true. Now, here's I hope you're really enjoying this because I'm enjoying talking about this. I don't know if you can tell. Now, think about this. Which of these thoughts are true and what are not true? What would be coming from the little cartoon angel and what would be coming from the devil? Which would be thoughts that would be your best friend would say these to you? Like, for example, would this lovely woman's best friend, would her husband say to her, you know, you're not functioning as a better adult. You know, you're just a bad parent. How can you even teach this to our kids if you can't even figure it out? You know what? Like, our kids are going to be in a hospital one day or in jail, but it's going to be because of you. It's like, the reason why they don't know this is because of you. Because of you. You failed them. You've been a bad teacher. This kid is driving you nuts. You're losing your mind because of this kid. This kid is the problem. This kid, dummy. They need to go to counseling. You need to punish them. You need to yell at them. You better act up. You can't let them get away with this. Hey, you need a drink. Hey, look at you right now. You're a mess. Go get a drink. Go get a drink. Pop a pill. Come on, just go work. Screw these kids. Hey, go work. Hey, it's the weekend. Work. You know what? You're doing it for the kids. You know what? Go for the kids. They'll understand. They don't need you. You know, they're so young. They'll get over this. Right? Who does that sound like? See my little artistic voice there, a little dramatic voice? Like, that is not the way we should speak to ourselves. That is not good. Sometimes I'll ask people, I'm going to ask you, are you a bully? No, I'm not a bully. I'm like a 47-year-old housewife. You know, maybe you are a bully. Maybe you are. Maybe there's one person that you've been bullying for too long, and the evidence is that paper you're looking at. Now, what do we do about this? I give you lots of tips and tools, but here's a couple things I want you to do. Now, there's this common thing in psychology that has been around, and I've morphed it to kind of make it my own. It's very common. I call it, and many people call it, the five-second rule. Five-second rule. Here's what I want you to think about. Thoughts are going to come into your head. They're going to be irrational. Some are going to be good, and some of them are going to be whacked out. Some of them are going to be healthy. Some of them are going to be unhealthy. Some of them are going to be things you want to dwell on and things you don't. And what do? We have 5 seconds to decide. You have 5 seconds to decide. Do you want to let this thought put down roots into your brain? Do you want to dwell on that thought? Or do you want to say, you know what? This is just not a truth. This is a lie. Get out of my head right now. You've got 5 seconds to decide. Now, let me ask you a rhetorical question. For those of you who are here with me in the live Zoom, do me a favor. Be vulnerable, like I've been vulnerable. Write down for one or two of the negative, wrong, unhealthy thoughts that you struggle with. Please, for the sake of everyone listening to this, please open up and type down 2 thoughts that you struggle with in your adulting life, whether it be in your marriage, your work, with substances. No judgments at all, but please, I want to read these aloud. I want to see what you have to say. Let's see if we've got any takers on this. Now, you have 5 seconds to decide, because the reason why it's called the 5 second rule is because if you haven't made your decision within 5 seconds, well, then you've made your decision. If you have not replaced that thought, challenged that thought, punched that thought in the neck, if you have not, then you've already made your decision. Some people say, well, Sean, here's a little sidebar, because I could go on and on for hours on this activity. A lot of my thoughts are questions. Well, you ask yourself, let's say someone has a question like, how do I look today? How's my hair today? What do the kids need from me right now? Is my boss upset at me? Is my spouse upset at me? You know, what am I going to eat today? Why do these kids drive me nuts? Why is life so hard? You get to ask yourself, is it healthy for you to dwell on these questions? Mostly what I've seen, I'm not a PhD, I don't have a book on this, that if your top 10 thoughts are filled with a lot of questions, that you might be giving yourself anxiety. Because I have found, in what many people say, is that if you're struggling with anxiety, it means you're dwelling on the unknown future too much. You're not living in the present. Anxiety means you are focused too much on the future. And depression means you are focused too much in the past. So for me, I just decided that I talked about what happened at the beach a lot. I talked to my friends. I talked to the people that were involved. I talked to the kids and teenagers that were involved. I talked to my wife. And I talked. And then as time continued, it became easier for me to talk about. The nightmares went away, the survivor guilt went away, and then now I can talk about it like a matter of fact. It was happened to me, it was very bad. But I can talk about it in a way that I don't cry, I don't break down, because I feel healing. I've been healed, emotionally healed over what happened to me that day. I talk about some of the traumatic events of my childhood, you know, very openly, without crying, without whining, without blame, without victim mentality, because I've accepted those, I've gone through the stages of grief, and there's healing. Now, there's still sensitive spots on my body sometimes, and my mind, sensitive to the touch, as you can tell, just from how my tone might change when I talk about these things. But this is what I've done. I've determined I'm not going to let these thoughts determine my reality. Our thoughts become our reality. So do you want to become an anxious, worrisome parent? Well, then you know what to do. You want to be a parent full of gratitude and joy and thankfulness? You know what to do. Manage your thoughts so they do not manage you. Maybe that those thoughts of gratitude or positivity or healthy thoughts, maybe they need to move from number like 7 and number 10 and number 13 up to number 1, 2, and 3. What is your number one thought in life? What is your number one thought in life? That'll tell you a lot about who you are. In fact, if we had more time, I could read a whole list of people's thoughts to you right now. I could ask you, what do you think this person's life? What do you think they're like? Are they happy? Are they sad? Do they have healthy relationships? What's their relationship with screens, with food? And then you would probably be able to accurately describe this person. Why? Because our thoughts become our reality. We wrap up that. Here's a couple of things. We have a few volunteers. Okay. And I'm not trying to laugh, but the way that she wrote it is kind of comical. I'm sorry if I'm laughing. I don't know if this is disrespectful to laugh, but you did type it. And you typed, my kid is going to put me 6 feet under, right? That is just, I don't know to laugh or cry right now. Number two thought that this lovely mom shared is, where did I go wrong, right? Is that the type of thoughts that your best friend would say to you, your loving spouse? Is that how the angel would talk to you? I don't think so, right? It would say like, this kid's gonna put you, put one of that shame, that fear. That's a dark thought. That's a mean thought. Where did I go wrong? I just am responding to you. I hope it's being helpful. I hope I'm not crossing the line. Isn't that kind of mean for somebody to say that? Would you want to be friends with me if I said to you, hey, where did you go wrong? That's messed up, don't you think? Don't you agree? I can see you. Number two person. Why don't my kids care about my feelings? Super common. No, right away, this woman has, she's got teenagers. Trying to make light on some of these thoughts. Why do the stupid little things bother me so much? So see, those are two questions. See that person? Why? See, tell me, can you see the dangers of these questions, everybody? Can you see the dangers? It just create our minds in these cycles. I'll read one or two more. It's like these circular events when we keep asking ourselves questions that we don't, there'll never be an answer to it. I'll read two more. Okay, this mom writes, why is parenting so hard? Why does it not feel intuitive to me? Another thought she's sharing, thank you for your vulnerability, everybody. We're all connecting with you. We all feel this. Another thought is, I'm getting too close to other people. Getting too close to other people is painful. I'm gonna mess it up. Oh, that's a super powerful thought. This fear of getting too close to people. And then lastly, here's a dad sharing. Is my son focused on school? Or is he just wasting his time with games and his phone? Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's gotta be a super common top 10 thought for a lot of parents. Is my kid on the ball or are they just screwing around, right? I think about how good that thought can be, but also think about how destructive that thought can be. We can obsess over that thought. We end up in fear, parenting in fear. We let that thought, you know, run amok in our minds. Here's another thought from this same guy. Am I living up to my expectations at work? Am I working hard enough? Yeah, that is definitely a thought that people that work definitely have, right? So here's the thing. You are the judge. You are the jury. You be the judge. You be the judge what top 10 is. And here is the last powerful thought. This is so into what I'm about to say. If you think about your healthy and unhealthy, positive, unpositive, what we want to dwell on is true thing, not positive thinking. What's true? Because what's true is that this person, this mom is a high functioning mom. She is a great mom. That's true. So dwell on what's true in your lives. Now, as you think about how do I replace these negative thoughts with true thoughts? How do I replace and get rid of these unhealthy thoughts? Because you can't ignore them. You've got to address them and you've got to replace them. Here's what I want to leave you with. I don't know what you need to hear. I do not know what you need to hear. Nobody does. I don't know what you need to tell yourself every day. I don't know what needs to be in your top 10, but I know one person who does. I know one person who knows exactly what you need to hear. I know one person who knows exactly what you need to tell yourself. And who is that person, everybody? Just unmute yourself if you're here with me live and answer my question. Who is that person? Tell me, come on. Use the group chat to tell me. I want to hear someone's voice.
Ourselves.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? That's correct.
That we know what we need to hear, and so we need to focus on that.
That's so good, right? Can you tell me one or two things you need to tell yourself? Mom, what do you need to tell yourself today and every day? True, good, lovely things.
I guess I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
And I love my children and I want what's best for them.
Yeah. Tell us more. What else you tell yourself? Anything else? Those are good, love, true thoughts. You are a good mom. Parent, and if you're with somebody, a spouse, tell me, what do you need to tell yourself? B-roll.
Hey, Sean, it's Ruby over here.
Hey, Ruby, talk to us.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I tend to tell myself more often, I'm doing the best I can. I mean, you know, I'm best I can as a parent. No parent's perfect. We don't have, you know, I don't have a guide about how to be a perfect parent, and I'm just doing the best I can. And all the key thing is love. I love them, and I'm doing the best I can.
I love it. I love your words. You're speaking kindness and grace and gentleness into yourself, and you're focusing on love. So good. So good. So good. Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you, and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of those same painful patterns in your parenting, or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.